So the payment, I believe the term is fortune and glory?
Definitely. If you guys are together, I would love for all of us to go. It's hard to know, you know, if there'll be dangers along the way. And you guys look like you can handle yourself.
Syl comes around the corner, spray adhesive, holding his band-aids on. Says, I hear talk of fortune and glory, but ship doesn't run on glory.
Howdy, friends. Craig here. We've got session two of an actual play of some role-playing that I'm running for a group, many names who I'm sure you're familiar with. If you have not listened to episode 91, I recommend you go back to episode 91 to watch or to listen to the first session of this. In this next session, it's really interesting to already see the progress that each of these players is making. This is, of course, set in the Star Wars universe using the Edge of Empire rules from Fantasy Flight Games. Anybody who's a fan of Star Wars, I think, will enjoy hearing yet another story being told in that setting. One thing to note, this ended up being a short session, and you don't hear it in the recording, but I ended up cutting the session much shorter than anticipated because I was struggling. I was struggling to get into the groove of running the game. And any of you out there that have ever run a role-playing game, ever been a DM or a GM before, know that just some days you have an off day. And this turned out to be one of them. The good news is the players didn't notice. It seemed like something only I noticed. I don't consider this to be the best session I've ever run. I learned a lot from running it. So sit back and enjoy yet another story set in the Star Wars universe. This is the Fistful of Credits campaign. Enjoy!
Playing a tabletop strategy game allows you to unplug and test your skills against friends. Every week, Third Floor Wars delivers useful strategies, discussions, battle reports, and reviews to tabletop games like Malifaux. If you want to get better at the games you already play, or discover the games other people are playing, you are in the right place. Craig and Ray welcome you to the Third Floor and the Tabletop Talk Broadcast.
When we last left the crew, they were in a bar on Nar Shaddaa. An elderly Twi'lek named Jacek approached them about a potential job. Before they could discuss the details, Grail, a Trandoshan, tried to steal the work out from under them. Quickly, discussions escalated and a scuffle ensued. After some mishaps and a faulty grenade, the crew took control of the situation. Grail is now on the floor, unarmed and alone. His men fled. Will the crew finally learn the job Jacek has for them? How did he know they would be together in the Orange Lady Bar? Can this ragtag group come together as a crew to make a fist full of credits?
All right, guys, we're going to start now session two. We just listened to the recap, but let's kind of set the scene. You guys, of course, are in the Orange Lady nightclub slash bar. We have Jacek laying on the floor right next to the dance floor, surrounded by four of you. Marshall, you have convinced Grail that fighting is probably not his best option now. And he's laying at your feet. His buddies that... you guys tussled with are out the door, and that's when we broke. So now, first thing I'd like to do is I want to do something that I hear on another podcast, which I really like, the Live Play podcast called The Hydian Way. And one of the things that they do, which I am also having us do, is we kind of set a scene where one character gets a chance to ask another character a question so that everybody gets a little bit of insight into that. So to set that scene, we're going to go briefly back in time to when Marshal Sill and Titus were flying on their way to meet with you guys. And let's go ahead and ask the question.
Well, and we're traveling along in this currently unnamed starship just out of mothballs, delivering it for our patron, Larbek Bejus. And we've been traveling for a while, getting to know each other, kicked back in the captain chair, pilot chair, the co-pilot. And there's a lot of miles, or parsecs, between planets, a lot of time to chat. After a while, the conversation turns to, weapons, naturally. Men of action, time to kill. And Syl turns to Titus and says, Titus, I notice you've got a Mon Calamari spear blaster. I've never seen a non-Mon Calamari use one of those. Where'd you come by that?
When I first started out here in the Outer Rim as a bounty hunter, I had a partner named Nadar. He was a Mon Cal, veteran of the Clone Wars like myself. Good man. A job went south. He was wounded. Mortally. In order for me to get away, he gave his life. And he passed on this. And I hold it up. Gave it to me so that I could continue on my journey. He knew what I was actually after, and he wanted to help. He understood more than most, I think, the Mandalorian way. And he gifted it to me, determining, as he said, only a true warrior could possess a weapon of such significance from his culture.
That's a weapon with a past. Weapon with a mandate attached, isn't it?
So,
we'll try to fulfill it.
All right. Very cool, guys. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and create our destiny pool. So if you go to your roll 20 and go to your destiny pool under your dice pool, right now it should show 0-0. Zero light, zero dark. If it doesn't, go ahead and have it sync with the GM. And then go ahead and roll destiny.
Ooh, looking good.
All right, so Rick's rolled one light side. Chal, two light side. DT, one light side. I need someone to save me here. We got two more to go. Titus, what the heck? Another light side.
All right. The tables have turned, Craig. Come on. All right.
All right. So Marshal Sill also rolled light side. So it is definitely in your guys' favor today. We've got six light side, zero dark side points. It'll be interesting to see when those start coming into play. All right. So the obligation that we rolled at the end of session one was for DT's oath. So DT, we've already lowered your strain threshold as that aspect of your life is kind of weighing on you and kept things focused. So now let's go back. So the camera fades in. We see the Trandoshan Grail on the ground. Syl, your Marshal Syl is standing over him. The other four of you have surrounded Jacek, who is the Twi'lek man, older gentleman that approached you and said that talked with Rix specifically to find out if you guys could help him. But we at this point don't really know what he's looking for because you were interrupted by Grail. The music has stopped. The lights have come back on. And the one thing that kind of breaks the silence and of the moment is we have the bartender droid flagged down Rix. So Rix, you come over to the bartender droid.
Master Rix, please be aware that the authorities were notified, and I expect security to be here soon.
All right. I turn to my group. And, guys, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, let's scram. Let's just leg it.
Yes, security's on the way. Let's go to a place where we could chat.
Yeah, sure. I'm just going to take my drink since I got it. Didn't drink a long time, and we do it. Let's go.
Man, after my own heart. I'm going to bend down to Grail. Right. Say, Grail, you shot me. I won't forget that soon. But in the meantime, I could use a friend around here. You watch my back. We'll be in touch. By the way, I'm keeping your gun. And I follow out the door.
Very nice. Okay, and what are we doing with Jacek?
DT is going to assist him up and make as best he can to appear as though he is some form of service droid helping Jacek along.
Okay, so you guys step outside of the Orange Lady, and now keep in mind where we are. We're at kind of the mid level, so you it's nicer than obviously the lower levels of the city and the planet. It is simulating night at this point. There's lights everywhere. You've got the neons of the different signs. The streets themselves are rather busy, as often is the case. Give me an idea, gentlemen, where we're headed.
We should take him to our ship.
Good idea. I'll pull out my urban compass and flip that open.
As I see you pulling it up, I just hold it there, Marshall. We should get lost in the crowds. We don't want them to tail us. I had a few bad incidents in past, and we really should get lost, lose the tail in case somebody wants to follow us, get lost in the crowd. It will be hard with this old guy, and then get to the ship, I think, like, just for good safety.
Good plan. Lead on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Guys, let's go ahead and take a look at your character sheets real quick, look at your skills. I'd like to find out who has the best skullduggery.
DT has a yellow and two green, and subtracts one black from any roll.
Three green here.
This Boy Scout's got none of that.
Right?
I got two green for Chol.
Two green. How about Titus?
Two green.
Okay, so it looks like your best bet is to have DT kind of get you guys mixed in with the crowd and... hopefully not obvious to whatever security is arriving. But speaking of which, once you've stepped outside, so far you don't see any of the city security arriving yet. So I'm going to go ahead and set the difficulty. It's going to be an average difficulty, so it gets two purple dice. And DT, if you can go ahead and roll for me.
What's this roll for,
sure,
by the way? I'm also thinking more streetwise to use to get lost in the crowd than skullduggery.
What I'm hoping for here is more of a skullduggery. So it's going to be almost like a stealth roll, as opposed to a streetwise, which is for tends to be more trying to find something.
Right. Okay.
All right, so an average skullduggery roll. Ready when you are, sir.
Here we go.
All right, so you rolled two green and a yellow because you have one rank in skullduggery. We ended up with two successes and a threat. I'll go ahead and use that threat to add one to your strain threshold. So DT, okay. Let's go ahead and add one strain. With those two successes, you guys have little difficulty. Now we're headed to the ship, right?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. So you guys are able to mix in with the crowd. DT's doing a very good job, helping Jacek, who, is older. And as you mix through the crowds going through, you do see some security starting to pass through, headed towards the Orange Lady. They pay no attention to you at this point. And you guys get to the hangar, and the ship is there. the ramp is down. You guys head up, and you are in the ship now.
Howdy friends, Craig here. Nothing makes Malifaux easier than having the right tools. Here at the third floor, we love all the licensed Malifaux goodies from Custom Meeple. Not only are they helping support this podcast, they sell custom-made weird licensed tokens and terrain. They sell it all. Crew boxes, terrain, markers, tokens, and even a 3x3 full Malifaux board. Custom Meeple sells a complete M3E token set covering every marker and token you need to play. Custom Meeple are the source for the official accessories for Malifaux. Everything is designed by hand and authorized by Weird Games. Check them out at CustomMeeple.com, that's with one M, or follow the link in the show notes. Up your Malifaux game and be sure to tell them Craig from the third floor sent you. If you use the promo code ThirdFloorFriend, all one word, THIRDFLOORFRIEND, you'll get a 5% discount and help support the podcast. It's valid on everything except retail products and playmats.
The ramp is down. You guys head up, and you are in the ship now.
So, first thing, I'm badly injured. I think I'm headed towards the medical bay.
Okay.
We also need to find Jacek a place to sit and discuss why he was with us in the Orange Lady. How do we deal with injuries?
Good question.
I've heard of stim packs, but I sure don't see one on my sheet.
Marshal Sill, you can go to medical. So, but to answer your question, probably the best thing for you to do would be to have someone do a medicine check on you. Let's take a quick peek and see if we can get an idea, because we don't have somebody who is specifically a healer or a medic in the party. So if everybody can take a quick look at your medicine.
Okay, I'm level 3. And basically from past, it's not like I'm a doctor or anything, but I have some experience with drugs. I have some anesthetic if we need to use it, if it's something serious. So I could take care of it.
All right, so you said you've got three green in medicine?
Three green.
All right, it looks like it. How about you, Titus?
I've got two.
Okay, great. So
yeah, I got two green.
All right, same excellent. With DT.
So let's go ahead and have Chawl and Syl head over to the medical bay. So Syl, you hop up on the bed in the medical bay. Chawl, you're there.
Yeah. Do we take the old man with us as well to take a look at him?
Yeah, I'm going to take him to the lounge.
Excellent.
DT would help you with that and take back his coat and hat, which he totally dressed Jacek up in to get through the crowd, and
nice.
Probably try and plug himself in somewhere and maybe get rid of some of this strain.
You can go ahead and do a discipline roll if you'd like, DT.
Awesome.
I've got the pool is clear. This will be just a straight discipline. Every success will reduce your strain. So you roll two green for your discipline, and that's going to be two successes and two advantages, so you can drop your strain by two, which I think gets rid of all of it. Rix, also, you've got some strain hanging around as well, so let's do that. You can do either discipline or cool, whichever's better for you. All right, you can drop your strain by one. You roll two green dice, and you've got one success, two advantage. All right, so let's... Camera cuts away from the lounge, where you guys have now moved Jacek over and have sat him down. And we're focused on the conversation and the work that's being done in the medical bay.
Okay, Marshal. So, where shall we get started? Where did you get hit? I didn't see anything obvious here, but...
I was standing there, minding my own business, arms out to the side. Shot me for no reason. We're definitely going to have to settle accounts later. That's all.
Okay, let's see. Let's see how your medkit is equipped. Like... Can I get a description, like how the ship looks? Like, is it a nice fancy ship? I doubt it. But or is it like barely flying ship?
No, it's actually older. It's older, and but not like falling apart by any stretch of the imagination. So it's in actually pretty good shape, but it's not new off the lot. The medical bay is stocked, so you've got any tools that you'll need there to do the healing.
Well equipped for trauma and well used.
Exactly.
Okay, so can I, if I could get a medkit there, and so let's see what can we do.
I peel off my duster and start stripping layers of armored or padded clothing off to get down to the burn marks.
Okay, so this might hurt a little, so let's do this, and I will just go straight for healing the wound, nothing else, just, yeah, we need to get this sorted out, or it will get bad.
All right, pretty soon. So currently Marshal Sill is at 8 of his 12 wound threshold, so he's over half, which makes this a hard medicine check. So we've got three purple dice in there. Out of curiosity, does anyone want to use a light side point?
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, I just hit the use light side, right?
Yep, you just hit use light side, it'll upgrade your roll.
You know Craig's just tempting you to get dark side points, right?
Yeah, five light side, and I finally one. Have a dark side point. The pool, dice pool is ready for you, Joel.
And let's see, I'll do my best.
Very nice. So you rolled, normally your medicine skill would be 3 green, but because you guys used the light side point, it upgraded it to 2 green and a yellow. And then we had 3 purple. We ended up at the end of it with 3 successes and 1 threat. So the 3 successes, Marshal Sill, is going to allow you to reduce your wounds by 3.
So I punch in a -3 here, and it gets me to 5. Nice.
Yep, and then Chol, that was this is not really what you normally do. You feel a lot more comfortable with wires and circuit boards and things like that. Squishy people is not your expertise, but you did an excellent job, but it was pretty stressful. So let's go ahead and use that threat to add 1 strain.
All right,
that was from the squealing noise I made.
I prefer speaking binary. If you're hurt, just speak binary.
1, 1, 1.
So now the camera shifts over back to the lounge where we have Titus, DT, and Rix sitting with Jacek.
All right. I'm going to sit next to Jacek and say, Jacek, I know we were interrupted prior. What did you want to tell us? What job did you have for us?
Well, I need your help. I've been doing a lot of research, and I think that I am very close to discovering essentially a hut treasure palace, long abandoned. I don't know how familiar you are with the huts, but many of the huts would often have different hidden locations where they would go to get away and to often stash a lot of their wealth. Some of them have been long forgotten, and I think I have a line on getting us to one of those, but I need obviously a ship, and I see you guys have one. And I was told, Rix, that you have a good sense of the galaxy and can be an asset as far as navigating through this. The map that I have is not complete. I still don't know, have the exact location, but I've got a good friend who is on Ryloth, which is close to the Bukhata space. And if we can get there and talk to him, he might be able to fill in the last pieces and the holes that we've got so that maybe we can get there. And obviously, I don't have any money now, but if what I believe to be true, there should be more than enough treasure for all of us to split if we're able to find this palace.
Jacek, that sounds all great, but what proof do you have that you're on the right track? I mean, that's asking a lot for us to commit our entire group and a ship to go hunt this down with no guarantee or no bit of information.
So he has kind of a messenger bag And he pulls out from the messenger bag a small statue. And it's a hut statue. And what I'd like to do is I would like to get a lore check from you, Rex.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Howdy friends, Craig here. You deserve a new playmat. Here on the third floor, we use Mats by Mars. They are scratch resistant, waterproof, wet erase marker compatible, almost free of glare, and lighter than neoprene. Mats by Mars gives you over 40 designs to choose from. You pick a mat, pick a design, and then you pick an overlay, like one for Marvel Crisis Protocol, Star Wars Legion, or even Malifaux 3rd Edition. Those overlays will really speed up your deployment and make the placement of objective markers so easy. Use our promotion code in the show notes to get a 10% discount on your first order. In the notes of your order, you can even request the third floor logo on your mat for free. That makes the best mat in the business even a little better. So get some new mats, save yourself some money, and help support the show. Go to matsbymars.com. All the details are in the show notes, including the discount code.
And it's a hut statue. And what I'd like to do is I would like to get a lore check from you, Rex. It's going to be average difficulty.
All right. We ready?
I'm ready when you are, sir. So he explains, this is what began my search. It belongs... I believe, if I've done my research correctly, it belongs to a hut who's long gone. Been dead for well over 200 years now. And there's inscriptions at the bottom of the statue, and he turns it over and you can see it. And it's in a language that really none of you recognize. He then pulls out a paper map and unfolds it. And it's of the Buddha Hut of Space. And for those not familiar with it, you've got, of course, you have Hut Space, where you've got planets like Tatooine, and so you have Nar Shaddaa and all of that. And then outside of Hut Space, you have what's called the Buddha Hut, which is really used by the Huts a long time ago. It's become mostly uncharted at this point. There's not a whole lot of activity there. It is a part of space where rumors are that a lot of these ancient palaces that Jacek is talking about is located. So he lays out the map, and you can see where he's got all kinds of calculations that he's done. He's used compasses and things like that. He's written all over it. And he says, I believe it's here. And he touches a part of the map near what's called the Dead Road, which is what is believed to be old smuggling routes that were used by the Huts, but now have become essentially uncharted territory. There is always been rumors around the Dead Road. For some has become almost essentially the Bermuda Triangle of Star Wars. But let's go back to this lore roll. So, Rex, you rolled three advantages after rolling three green against two purple. You pick up and look at the statue. You're not really able to authenticate it at this point. It looks legit. So there's nothing telling you that what Jacek is saying in any way is not the truth. You did get 3 advantages from that, so I'd be curious how you'd want to spend those advantages.
I definitely need to recover some strain, but... Yeah, let's recover some strain for now, if that's all right.
Excellent. So as you've kind of been... Really had a chance to relax at this point, Rix, and, you know, researching and understanding, you know, different parts of Hut space, seeing the map alone kind of gets you excited because it's been a long time since you've seen a paper map. And you look over all of the calculations that he's been doing and just all of that, I think, tends to relax you a bit. So, yeah, let's go ahead and drop your strain by 3.
All right. Jacek, I like what I'm hearing. If we're going to commit our entire crew to go off on this adventure, what's in it for us?
I am more than willing to share whatever we find. I mean, if this truly is a treasure palace, and if it is untouched as I believe it's going to be, there it's just countless the amount of treasure there'll be there. And I obviously would share that with you. I would like to bring artifacts back to do research. I would like to obviously keep some of the treasure that we find. But I, you know, I can't make any promises. I just, based on my research, I think this is worth taking the chance. So I'd be happy to share that with you. I can't get there without you.
So the payment, I believe the term is fortune and glory?
Definitely. If you guys are together, I would love for all of us to go. It's hard to know, you know, if there'll be dangers along the way. And you guys look like you can handle yourself.
Syl comes around the corner, spray adhesive, holding his band-aids on. And he says, I hear talk of fortune and glory, but ship doesn't run on glory. We need to cover rental and fuel on this ship, or we got nothing. We can't get back on promises. That's why. Sorry to be the wet blanket on this, but we got to make sure we can fly on back too. Past the side of the hull.
So I will. I basically follow, and I say, somebody said money. So we are speaking about money now?
Potential money.
Ah, potential money. Right. Okay. I'm listening.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I feel we need to work out some sort of a breakdown of what we find and how we divvy it out before we take on this journey. Jacek, what do you propose, percentage-wise, if we were to find this treasure?
If I can keep the artifacts that we find, any of the relics, anything that'll, you know, obviously enhance my research as I try to learn more and more about this time in Hutt history, anything as far as, you know, valuables, gems, even ancient credits, anything that has any value like that, I would be happy to hand over and let you guys take. I'm only interested in finding things that will increase and help me in my research.
DT nods and looks over at the marshal.
I pull out a scrap of paper. I say, you know, I find that if we put a few of these words on paper, it reduces the chance of misunderstandings in future. If we could, let's just jot down some bullet points here so we're clear on where we're at. And he smooths right. This out, pulls out his pen. Sorry, guys. Because he knows fortune and glory rings loud.
So,
however, the meat bag needs to record itself.
So Marshall, what are we going to put on there? And are you looking for Jacek to agree to it, sign it?
I'm hoping to work out a negotiation role at some point here, because that's something I actually have. We're not driving for crazy terms. We're just trying to...
So give me an idea of what you're shooting for, outside of what Jacek mentioned.
No, I think what Jacek has put down there is perfectly fair. I would like... I don't know how much fuel costs. Are we begging for gas?
So...
I don't know how
to put a lot of things. Like a lot of things in Star Wars, it's never really clear exactly how ships kind of are fueled, whether it's fuel cells, things like that. So in the games that I run in this universe, I tend not that to be a consideration or a worry.
Okay. Unless
I want to mess with you. So at some point I might say you're out of gas because I have got evil plans as your game master. But as a general rule, I'm not too concerned about it. So
all right, then we're not.
It's kind of the
not.
Same thing with like eating and, you know, having food and supplies and things like that. I might bring it up when I need to bring it up. But generally speaking, we're going to assume that you guys have food on the ship. Are able to stay in a hurry.
Then the negotiation is mainly flavor negotiation rather than survival.
Gotcha. So Keith,
our ship runs on pure narrative power.
Jacek looks over everything that you wrote down, Marshall, and you know, looks up and goes, "Do you want me just to initial this, sign it for you?"
That's I'll sign. You sign, and. It's mainly just jotting it down and then a handshake.
Hey, Marshall, I'd like to add something to that agreement. I would like to get credit for finding these relics that, along with Jacek. I would like to be part of that discovery.
Jacek is recorded. Co-authorship a portion of this this deal?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So, yeah, you guys add that and jot it down, and he completely agrees with it. Now, the planet that he mentioned, Ryloth, that is definitely Outer Rim, just outside of Hutt Space itself. Let me get who's got the best knowledge Outer Rim?
I got yellow and two green.
I'm on three
green. I suspect that's our best. Yeah. All right.
Still settled back in the chair. He's done.
All right. So Rick's got nothing to help here. Let's see what we can learn about Ryloth. It's going to be an average difficulty, so I've got two purple dice, and I'm ready for a knowledge Outer Rim when you are. Very nice. So you rolled two green and a yellow against the two purple. You ended up with three successes and a threat. I'm actually going to bank that threat to use later, kind of off screen. But for your three successes, so... Rix, you're familiar with Ryloth. It is something that you and all of your studies have come across. It is primarily a mining planet. It is populated mostly by Twi'leks, much like Jacek. The main city, if you want to call it that, is a city called Nabat. And... it's, generally speaking, not a whole lot of Imperial presence on the planet itself. And you can decide how much you want to share of that, obviously.
Gentlemen, I'm familiar with Ryloth. I think it's acceptable to start this adventure. If you guys are in, I'm in. Let's find some treasure.
Yeah, Ryloth. I've been there a few times in my past. Well, let's go back then and see if I found some of my old friends. Oh,
we probably should be a little bit on guard if we're trying to avoid the Imperials, though. They have a pretty heavy presence there.
Yeah, for me it's a bit tricky, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyhow,
all right, so let's go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so before we like go there, I would like to check out the, you know, the guts of the ship to see like if we're good to go. And, you know, it's the thing I do. So if you wouldn't mind, I would go to engineering.
Yeah, and this is your first time on the ship itself, so I'm going to go ahead and do an average mechanics check with one setback because of the this being the first time. And so you're kind of, are you looking, before we roll, kind of give me an idea what you're trying to assess, Joel.
So I would like to assess the state of the ship, like if I don't know, fight occurs, or like if we can withstand some hits, like what are we looking at really? And basically basic diagnostics, and is there anything wrong? Is there like someone having what's it called, like location device on the ship? Let's say go this direction.
All right, so first let's get an assessment of how seaworthy our new ship is. So let's go ahead and do a mechanics check. I've got the pool ready for you. You're rolling against one setback, one black die, and two purple. Wow. Okay. So with one green and two yellows, which is a very, very strong mechanic skill against my setback and two purples, you ended up with two successes, an advantage, and a triumph. So I will take care of the successes and kind of give you a layout. But before I do, I want to get an idea about that advantage and triumph.
Oh, okay. So during, I could use the advantage. I have this, what's it called? Let me just check. Remote DVI activator. So I would like to install it. It should be basically like a remote control kind of thing. Like I could call some short range the ship to land on a nearest landing pad to quickly run away, something like that. So I was thinking like to use that advantage or the extra success.
That, actually, if you want, why don't we, I could use that triumph for you to have that successfully installed without having to do a mechanics check.
Yeah, right, sure.
Let's beautiful. All right, and as far as the successes, the ship's in good shape. So the hull seems intact. You look at the hyperspace, and navigation systems, they all seem in pretty good shape. There's nothing that's really raising any alarms. I would like you to also do a perception check. And this is where we're going to look for things like, you know, tracking devices,
right,
stuff like that.
Okay.
So I've got an average roll, and I'm going to actually give you a boost from that advantage.
Okay. Should
I
roll?
Ready when you are, sir. Yep.
Let's do this.
So we got a failure with one advantage. So, you know, you look at the machine, you look over the ship. So you look, Charles, you look over the ship, and, you know, one of the things that you were looking for was obviously any kind of nefarious devices. You really didn't see any as you looked over the ship. So you come back to the lounge where everybody is.
Just one last thing before I come back to lunch.
Please.
So I will just stretch out. Okay, everything is good as it goes, and let's use some time for myself. And I will try to just look around if somebody is going in, and just to be sure that I'm alone. And I will pop out one of the trucks I have, and which is called Booster Blue. I don't remember what it boosts, like some next check, but that's not relevant right now. But I will just use the engineering to put in the dose and chill in for a bit. And I might return after a bit longer time than just a routine, you know, engine check. And I lower
right,
the dose.
Excellent.
And that's
perfect.
That's it.
All right. So two things we're going to need to do. One, we're going to need to plot our course to Ryloth. And two, I need to find out who's flying.
I'm just for flying. Or
my piloting is yellow and two green.
So is mine. We've got a lot of pilots, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. Planetary space is what we're going to look at. So you guys decide.
I have a yellow and three green.
That's probably you.
All right.
Driving while impaired and awesome.
So how does this conversation go, guys? It sounds like you've decided that this is worth taking a chance. Jacek asks if he can excuse himself to go lay down. So he's now not in the room with you anymore. So I'd be very curious, as you really have not worked together before, I'd like to know how all of this is going to come together.
We look like the Three Stooges as four of us try to go through the door to go be the pilot. Let's go fire her up. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. You can fly?
Yeah, well, or you wanted to fly. I'm not I thought I'm flying this ship, you know, because that's what I was hired for, kind of.
As far as we knew, the ship was ours. I point to Syl and I.
Yeah, Titus and I flew it over here just fine.
Yeah, but, but we have, you know, a common friend that kind of put us together, and he basically told me that I could fly a ship. Come on, guys. I didn't know it's this, so can we agree on something, or, you know, sharing a seat?
I needed to lie down anyway.
Fine. Oh, I'll see what you have.
Great.
I'll call pilot.
Let's do this.
All right, excellent.
Let's do this. Yeah, my
so
own
So, Titus.
I'll take a look at the guns.
Titus and Charles, you guys head to the cockpit. Who wants to plot the course to Ryloth?
Is that astrogation?
It is, sir.
Yeah, it's probably going to be me. I have two yellows and a green.
Good lord.
Perfect. Yellow and green.
All right, so Rix, I've got your pool set within average difficulty because this is a known planet. It shouldn't be too difficult. Ready?
We get advantage because I checked out the route before in the engineering and such.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. We just rolled for it, so let's bank that, Chol. So remind me, because I do like that. Rix, you head over to the nav computer. You plug in the course, and you're going to have no trouble. In fact, you really think if you go here, then here, then there, this route might be even better. So it's going to take roughly about a day for you guys to get there based off of the route that Rix has put together. The ship starts to take off as Chol pulls back. You guys have no trouble leaving the planet itself. You program it in, the lights streak, and you guys jump into hyperspace. So there's a few things that I'd like to do. One, is there anything that we want to happen that we need to work out as we're waiting to get planet side?
Yeah, DT would also be of a similar mindset to my friend here and would be looking for any tracking things on the ship. He doesn't know the ship. He doesn't trust it.
Great. So let's go ahead and make that an average perception roll. I'm going to give you a boost based off of what we got from Chol itself. So I'm ready for a perception roll when you are, sir.
Cool.
All right. So we got one blue die, two green, and a yellow against two purples. We ended up with two successes and an advantage. So DT is, you know, obviously you guys are now in hyperspace. Chol, did his inspection. You have time on your hands. So you look through as well. Being not very trusting and knowing how Larbeck works or knowing the fact that it was sitting in a hangar for as long as it was, you start looking to see if there's any type of tracking devices, bombs, anything that shouldn't be on the ship. As you go through and do the inspection, you're not finding anything to be concerned about. Everything seems to be in the right place. How would we like to use that advantage?
Is there a good way I could use that to set up any kind of early warning system to see if maybe the... to plug into the ship and maybe be notified if somebody gets on it without anybody else knowing?
Yeah, let's do this. If we have an encounter, the next space encounter we have, when we roll initiative, remind me to add a boost to your initiative roll.
Will do.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
So you guys, you know, obviously you're flying. You got it going. Once you get into hyperspace, the ship can pretty much fly itself. So I would imagine each of you are kind of retiring back, taking your time to sleep. Marshall Sill, you're going to heal a wound overnight. So if you want to drop down, you'll now be at 4 out of your 12 threshold. Anybody who has any strain, that'll go away as well.
Sill is going to move his stuff out of the captain's room without making any sort of fuss about it. He's just going to go grab his duffel out of there and shift it over to the crew quarters.
Excellent.
Because when we'd flown over, that was kind of the assumption. And he's just like, guess not.
So you guys come out of hyperspace. And you can see Ryloth there. The Ryloth is, it's not a desert planet as much as it is a kind of a desolate planet itself. On the computer, you have no trouble locating Nabat, which is the city that Jacek says he needs to go to in order to track down his friend. We can go ahead and head on to Nabat if you want, or is there something we want to do while we're still off planet?
Could we get something on Nabat, like what to watch out for, or was that covered already on the Ryloth check?
You can definitely do a scan using the ship sensors. Chal, can you give me an idea of what you're trying to figure out?
So I'm thinking, like, if we get, we will get, I guess, direction on which landing pad we should land. So I would like to scan surrounding. Is there any Imperial presence, for example? I know officially there is nobody, but, you know, who knows what we might find. Or is there, since, if I understood correctly, we're basically trying to steal from a hut. So is there some actual huts there hidden? I don't know. So that direction.
All right. So look. Yeah, let's go ahead and do a sensor sweep. So I'm going to need a computer's check from you. It's going to be average difficulty. The pool is ready.
DZ Leergard here, creator of the M3E Crew Builder app. And I'm a patron of Third Floor Wars because supporting great content creators like them is one of the best ways to help grow this game. So to join me and the other floorheads, go to patreon.com and search for Third Floor Wars, and we will see you there.
What is it worth to you to get this podcast on a weekly basis? Is it worth $1 a month, $5 a month, $20 a month? If you'd like to help support the work that we're doing here on Third Floor Wars, please go by our Patreon. We're at patreon.com/thirdfloorwars. There you can pledge at any level, any dollar amount. Whatever you give us will help us put out quality content on a regular basis and hopefully make tabletop gaming a little bit better for you every week. Hey, need to give a special shout out to some of our newest patrons. A big thanks goes out to Bob Fletcher, Old Doc Fulton, Joseph Pye, Loke Walmo, Nicholas Prinzing, Dareth 8952, Sven Hoffman, Mike Schmidt, and Peter DeArmas. The only reason we're able to put out content on a regular basis is because of you guys and gals. Thanks a ton. Howdy friend, Craig here. Is this episode making you realize you need to buy some models? Gadzooks Gaming is my favorite online retailer because of their large selection, killer prices, and great customer service. Don't you hate buying an entire crew box when you only need one model? Gadzooks sells crew box models individually and saves you a ton of money. They even have free shipping to the US and Canada if you spend $100 or more. Swing by GadzooksGaming.com and make sure you tell them Craig from the Third Floor sent you. All the details are in the show notes.
The pool is ready.
Wow.
All right. Wow. So we had two three green and a yellow against two purple. Yeah. Neither of the purple dice came up with anything. So you are just awash in three successes and three advantages. So you sit down, you work on the sensors and you do a full sweep of not only Nabat, but you know anything surrounding it. There does not appear to be any Imperial presence. The city itself is a mid-sized city. And what's unique about it, and you can see it on the sensors, is the majority of the city is underground. So you can see the spaceport. And on your sensors, you pick up the spaceport. And then off of the spaceport, there's a few domed areas that are very tiny. And obviously, based off of what you're seeing below surface, each one of those are just going to lead you underground. And as you look on the sensors yourself, you can see the majority of the city is an underground city. As far as the weather and things like that, it's an arid planet, obviously breathable as far as that's concerned. So no issues there. Talk to me about those advantages.
So disadvantages, I would like to bank those for later in case there is an interaction in the city. So I would use them like I scanned it, I have knowledge where to hide or where to find something that might help me later. So for the, if it's possible to bank those three, four in later interactions in Nabat.
Yeah, so if at any point we need to do something that has to deal with the layout of the city, if you guys need to get from point A to point B, you'll have no trouble. We'll upgrade that role. So we'll use those three to not give you a boost, but we'll actually upgrade the role itself. So if you can remind me, Chal, when we get there.
So I will save one upgrade. Okay.
Yep. Does that work? Yeah. All right. So, Chal, are we taking the ship in?
Yes, that is. She goes, and we go to the landing pad.
All right. So as you start to approach the actual spaceport itself, a message comes up, communication request to open a channel.
Do I see where it's coming from?
It's coming from the spaceport.
Okay, sure. Let's see what they want to tell us.
This isn't about spaceports. Please identify yourself.
Yeah, I will hold it on mute. What do we tell them? I'm just driving the ship. Like, we didn't thought about this.
We don't even have a name for the ship.
We aren't named yet, are we?
Well, I guess now's the time.
Fly casual.
I will just reply. Just hang on a minute. We have some technical difficulties over here. So, what's our plan? Are we here for work or vacation? How do we do this?
As soon as he starts saying that, I have the communicator start cutting in and out, like dropping his mic a little bit.
Okay, great. All right.
I guess now's the time. We gotta name the ship right now. We gotta give them something, otherwise they're gonna blast us out of the sky. The whole job will be dead. Got anything, Joel?
You're on mute.
Yeah. Duty. I'm not.
How about Centennial Eagle? It's a play off a Millennium Falcon.
Let's.
Centennial.
Let's take it as an interim name.
All right, so the Centennial Eagle is the name of the ship. You're going to get asked about the nature of your business.
It. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I struggle with. So we...
Planetary studies.
Love it. Okay. So I unmute or I hit the push to talk button and... Okay, we are a Centennial Eagle and we're just an excursion to study the planet. We want to see what's the culture like and what's the environment. And, yeah, that's what we do.
Okay, we're going to definitely need a roll for that.
Oh, boy.
So, boy. Let's see here.
I guess what do I want?
Let's do a deception roll. I'm thinking deception. So I'm going to make that an average. I'm ready when you are. What did you roll, Chal?
So two successes and... Oh, no, it's not deception. Or was it was deception. Okay, I have two successes.
Yeah, it was deception. You're good.
Okay, and that's a disadvantage.
All right, so I'm going to bank that threat. So I've got two threats banked.
Roger that, Eagle. Yeah, go to landing pad 47B. Enjoy your stay.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. And I just go for it then. Sweating all over me. Guys, like, I'm piloting the ship. I'm not talking, you know?
Pretending you're Eagle. What the hell was that?
I had to tell
them. Next time, toss me the mic.
Jeez, I'm
shaking.
So, guys,
as you start, Chal is taking the ship into the landing pad. Jacek comes in to the cockpit and says, "Are we here?"
Yeah, we're here. We can get out.
So I have not been here, but I'm you know very familiar with a lot of people here on Nabat. What we're going to want to do is we're going to track down my friend Neen Kablo. So as soon as we get there, I can try to communicate and connect with him.
So who's this friend actually? Like, I'm not so keen to meeting so many new people. I already. Like, met so many today, so who's this guy?
So I've worked with Nind. He no longer is involved in any type of this type of research, but he really was one of the preeminent experts on Buddha Hutta and a lot of history of the huts themselves. And I think with his help, I will be able to get a much better sense of where this palace is. So my hope is to sit down with Nin and, you know, show him some of the relics that I have found, have it with the map, and, you know, just hopefully he'll be able to help us.
Oh, well, I guess we already signed the paper, right? So let's do this.
So, all right, so we're going to head off the ship.
Yeah, let's disembark.
Let's go.
Okay. So, no trouble landing. You guys disembark. Walk towards one of what are essentially elevators, lifts. And they take you down, you would estimate around 30 feet into the main sections of Nabat as well. So, let's go ahead.
How big is Nabat? I mean, are we talking New York City, or is this a... rural, I mean, I'm guessing it's just a mining town. It's pretty pretty small.
Yeah, relatively small. So my guess is probably less than 2,000 people there. When the lift opens and you get into Nabat proper, it's essentially an underground city. And you can tell from that it's not a very rich colony itself. The streets themselves, nothing is clean. Nothing is really that dirty. You've got different, you know, shops and things like that that are set up all over the place. There's where it opens up to is actually a marketplace, which is is an open area, and you've got different merchants selling. You've got Twi'lek walking around. Definitely, as Jacek told you. It is predominantly Twi'lek. In fact, at this point, you don't see anybody who is non-Twi'lek there. Jacek steps out with you guys on the lift itself and pulls out his communicator and attempts to contact Nin.
Sorry. On the lift ride down, DT, realizing this is a smaller planet, would go ahead and like close up his coat, pull up his scarf so it's covering it. He's trying to make himself look like more of a human, maybe wearing a mask so that there's no like, hey, these guys had an interesting looking droid if anybody asks later.
Great. Yeah, you think that so somebody who might recognize an assassin droid might get a little nervous?
And Maybe a little bit.
Okay. So Jacek comes back and he says, I was not able to get in touch with Nin, but I was able to get in touch with a group that he's been working with here in the mining colonies. We can head over there and sit with them if you guys are okay with that.
Well, Chul, I think you're going to get to meet even more people today. Sorry about that.
Oh, God damn it. I mean, like, it better be a lot of credits. It better be a lot of credits, though.
It's part of the job.
You follow Jacek, and it's an uneventful journey. The colony, you get to walk through and see the colony and get a feel for it, and takes you to a door. He knocks on the door. It opens. Inside is a small room, and there's about three or four different Twi'leks there. Jacek says, you know, I'm trying to get in touch with Nin. A green Twi'lek comes up and says, well, right now Nin is actually at the mines itself. What exactly do you need Nin for? Jacek explains, you know, that he's a former colleague of Nin and you know, wants to work with Nin on it. The green Twi'lek turns to you guys and goes, and who are these guys?
We're Jacek's associates. We're here to escort him and support him in any way we can. Who are you?
I'm one of the miners here. I've been working in the mines for a long time. To give you guys, you know, I can definitely help get you out to the mines itself. Let me get in touch with Nin and kind of verify all of this. And I'll be back. So he walks away, heads off into another room. Let me give you a sense of the vibe here, guys. You can definitely tell all of these people that are in the room, these Twi'leks in the room, they're a bit standoffish. They appear to be a bit skeptical of all of you. They're not in any way threatening, but there's definitely a sense of concern at your presence. So he comes back and he says, you know what, this checks out. Nin says, Jacek, would really love to see you if you want to head out to the mines themselves. I can arrange to get you guys a couple speeder bikes and a couple speeders and directions.
I guess for planetary observation, we might go as well into mines. Why not?
I mean, it seemed pretty clear that was going to be part of this for diving into ruins for old Rylothian junk.
At least we get a getaway car.
So. It's important to include the subterranean portion of the geological survey as well.
Yeah, and that, of course, sure. So, let's go to the mines then.
All right, guys. So he leads you up back to the surface, and there you find two speeders, each one able to seat two people, and then two speeder bikes. So between all of that, you guys should have no trouble having the six of you travel. So I'd like to get a sense of who's going to be where.
I'll be on a bike.
Chul is going speeder.
I've watched Chul drive. I'll get in with him.
Sure.
I've figured that out.
And I'll take Jacek with me.
I guess I'll be on the other bike then.
Figure it's good to have the two really killy guys on bikes.
I can see that.
I feel like there's a nod of understanding as the droid and the Mandalorian kind of look at the bikes, look at each other.
Outriders.
two opposing individuals during the Clone Wars now mounting bikes to protect these two, the rest of this group, these two speeders.
Oh, I love it. It's coming together.
I just need a point where I get to use my my spear rifle as a lance while on the bike. I need a joust.
Nice.
set you up for a joust.
And I'm gonna tune in on the radio some, I don't know, a Star Wars version of Highway to Hell. Or too soon.
So you guys hop in the speeders, you hop on the bikes. Twi'lek gives Jacek the directions. The it looks like it's going to take roughly maybe about an hour for you guys to get there. To give you a sense of the geography, very flat, and it's more of a sandy soil. Everything has a bit of a dark blue hue to it on the grounds itself. So you guys start heading off towards the mines. Most of it, like I said, is flat, but as you start getting closer to the mines, you're now maybe 15, 20 minutes out. You start to see, as you're approaching, what essentially are going to be the mountains themselves. So you start going and traveling and getting through onto essentially what is a canyon as you're headed out. So guys, we're going to use this as time to break on session two. And this will be a good kind of stopping point.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch so you don't miss the avalanche of content we create. Links are in the show notes. Be sure to check out our shop on thirdfloorwars.com for the latest in gaming apparel and gear. There you'll also find the latest information for the U.S. Faux Tour. Find out where you rank in your conference or even in the entire United States. Get those models built, painted, and ready so we can see you at the next U.S. Faux Tour Masters event. Please take a moment to write a review of this pod on your favorite platform. Rating and reviewing helps us find more listeners almost as cool as you are. Be sure to share this feed with all of your friends who love tabletop gaming. Thanks for listening.
Howdy folks, Craig here. Now if you love gadgets as much as we do, you're going to love the new Third Floor Wars gadget bundle from Schooner Labs. Branded with the logo of your favorite podcast, it comes with two measuring multi-tools, a compass stepper for those tight and important movements, along with a compact dashboard to track your turn, strat, and scheme scoring along with your soul stones and pass tokens. It is the perfect bundle for anyone who plays Malifaux or just wants to look cool while doing it. The link is in the show notes. Check them out and help support your favorite gaming podcast.
Hey, are you still here? Look, the podcast is over. And you sat through all of the breaks and bloopers? Well, I mean, if you're here, you might as well run over to patreon.com and become a supporter. Don't forget to rate and review this podcast, too, while you're at it, on whatever platform you're listening to. I do appreciate you sticking around. Take care.